Sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, I feel pretty inadequate. It's a very humbling process for those who have done it, understand what I'm saying. You see, we have an idea that God, or we hope and pray that God has laid on our hearts, and we have studied Scripture. But you know, sometimes what we feel like we need to say is all jumbled up in our heads, and it's hard to get those words in an order on paper. Whenever I do this, I feel like I'm just out there dangling, thinking, you know, I have to do this on Sunday, and I can't get it together. Anybody ever feel that way, just on a normal basis? And I say this prayer fairly typically. Dear God, help me. I can't get this message together. I feel inadequate to do this, Lord. Please show me how. Well, a word always comes back, and I sincerely hope and pray that it is God and not me. Anybody ever have that question whenever you're praying? You get a word and you're going, dear God, I hope that was you. Right? You know? Yeah. Even when you're a preacher, you think those things. Well, the word comes and it says, Eric, do you believe me? Do you believe in me? And obviously I say, yes, Lord, I believe in you. And I may be there a while, and another word comes. Eric, do you have faith in me? Of course, Lord, I have faith in you. The next word is usually the scariest, and it's then let go. Then let go. Doesn't seem to help very much, but isn't there a lot of truth in that? God has given us gifts for us to use, and it's our minds, something in our minds that hold us back from using the gifts that God has given us. And if we would just let go, amen, it would all work out. Do you ever feel, while you're turning your Bibles to Exodus 3, I'm going to tell you a little story here. Some find it funny that I never said a prayer in public prior to 1992, June of 1992, as a matter of fact. I can count on one hand how many times I prayed in public before that day. I felt it was something between God and me, and something that needed to stay there, and at least that's what I said in public. Anyway. Many times in my life, sitting around our dinner, I felt this call into the ministry when I was like in fifth grade. You know, and so Dad always thought I'd have this great words of wisdom around the dinner table. But there was a lot of silent time around that dinner table because I refused to pray, even in front of my own family. Matter of fact, after we were married, Jamie, before June of 1992, Jamie said more prayers around our dinner table than I did. Something that's kind of interesting, thinking what I do now. Well, the truth about the matter was is that I felt inadequate. I felt silly to say a prayer. You see, I mean, I'd been in church all my life, and I have heard thousands of prayers. I can't tell you how many prayers I've heard, but you know, to hear a prayer and to say a prayer are two different things, aren't they? Especially when you're saying it in front of people. Well, the circumstance that finally broke me of this mindset was when Jamie and I were moving from Altamont, Kansas, moving to Altamont, Kansas from Miami, Oklahoma. I'd been a chemist in Miami, and she was a school teacher in Altamont, and so we were moving after we were married. It was our last Sunday in the small Baptist church that we were attending outside of Miami, and both sets of parents were there helping us move. That's what they were doing. And so here I am standing in the pew, and Jamie's right next to me, and her mom and dad, and then my mom and dad are on this side. And it came to the end of the service, and the pastor said something like this. Brother Eric, would you say the closing prayer for us? You know that feeling that starts about right here, at the top of the head? And goes, and as it passes through your knees, they kind of get weak. You know that kind of feeling? Yeah. Well, I know and after the fact that Mom was standing on one side going, dear God, what's he going to do? And Jamie was standing on the other side expecting me to squeeze her hand for her to say the prayer. You know, that little communication between husband and wife. Well, I really don't know what I said, but I prayed something. And lightning didn't strike, and no one laughed. Everyone was very appreciative of whatever word it was, and we actually left safe and sound from that worship service. But have you ever noticed that sometimes God forces us out of our inadequate feelings and the ruts that we get ourselves into? One thing I forgot to mention, you're welcome to get out the insert in your bulletin and follow along. That's the first blank to fill in if you'd like to do that. Sometimes God forces us out of our inadequate feelings and the ruts that we get ourselves into when bare feet hit holy ground. To me, this morning's scripture, along with the movie clip, is one of my all-time favorites. It just gives me chills every time I read it or watch it. However, as I look closer at it, I came to realize that humanity is shown in these passages. Huge bits of humanity are shown. But sometimes we get so caught up into the burning bush that we miss the message, or what I'm seeing this morning is the message of this scripture. Well, first I have to set up the scripture. Moses is just moseying along watching his father-in-law's sheep. Has anyone here ever watched sheep before for 24 hours or more? It is one of the most boring jobs. Sometimes you pray that a coyote will show up just to stir things up a little bit. Well, anyway, Moses was just moseying along, something he did every day. Every day, folks. Walking with the sheep, being with the sheep, protecting the sheep when something happened. Well, now wait a minute. This burning bush appeared while he was just moseying along on his everyday job. I thought miracles were only supposed to happen in worship service. Isn't that what you always understood? Huh? Praise God. Great things
always happen in worship service, right? When all the family is there worshiping together
and being led by the pastor with a deep voice, right? I'm a tenor, sorry. Our songs,
our prayers, our sermons, and preachers are supposed to make these things happen. After all,
God can't do things outside of a church building, can he? I mean, we have to keep church in church and work in work, right? I mean, we can't take church into work, right? Heavens to Betsy, if I took church on the golf course, I'd have to watch my language. Folks, to God, it's all the same, whether you're on the football field or on the golf course or wherever you are. Well, God spoke to Moses, not in some religious setting, but in the midst of everyday work, folks.